Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. And the name of our program is Reflections. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from a devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, as well as from the Holy Bible. And we're in the midst of studying the second book of the Old Testament, and the name of it is Exodus. So please join me today, and let's first begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for our audience and joining us to learn more about you and your word and the faith we should have in you and your holy Son, Jesus. Father, we understand that all the words in the Bible are inspired by your Holy Spirit, and they're intended to teach us about you and your love, to teach us that we're all called to know and to love you and to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. And although Jesus had not been crucified yet at the time of Moses, we understand that Jesus is certainly spoken about. And having faith put in someone who's going to sacrifice, and that that blood of Jesus being poured out upon us, our sins are forgiven, Father, and that we may then have a relationship with you, a true, meaningful relationship, one of faith and love and salvation. Father, bless the words that we read today. May they be imprinted on our hearts. May we use those words to reflect and to share and to be at peace. Amen. March 14th, Sarah Young writes, "Do not hesitate to receive joy from me, for I bestow it on you abundantly. The more you rest in my presence, the more freely my blessings flow into you. In the light of my love, you are gradually transformed from glory to glory. It is through spending time with me that you realize how wide and long and high and deep is my love for you. Sometimes the relationship I offer you seems too good to be true. I pour my very life into you, and all you have is to receive it. In a world characterized by working and taking, the admonition of rest and receive seems too easy. There is an intricate connection between receiving and believing. As you trust me more and more, you are able to receive me more and my blessings abundantly. Be still and know that I am God." Three biblical scriptures that Sarah uses upon this reflection. One is Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord." And then Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts and through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What a beautiful scripture. What a beautiful scripture. Do not forget this. God loves you so very much. He gave you his Son to be sacrificed so that he can have a relationship with you. If you believe, he's calling you to believe. He's calling you to say yes to Jesus so that you may say yes to God. Beautiful story, beautiful words. God is wonderful. Well, we began Exodus last week, and we began the introduction to Moses, and we learned about Moses as a baby. And then we learned about Moses as a man, and we learned about Moses as a husband, and then we learned about Moses being called by God to go back to Egypt and to work with his brother Aaron to start communicating to the people of Israel the Hebrews living in Egypt, that they should be going to worship God. And God said that he would harden the Pharaoh's heart, and he certainly was hardening his heart. So we pick up with chapter 6, and we'll go as long as we possibly can, and I'm excited to be sharing these words with you as well. Chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites from whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you back out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to all the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanoch and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, Shoal, the son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These were the names of the son of Levi, according to their records: Gershon, Korith, Meri. Levi lived 137 years. The sons of Gershon by clan were Libni, Shimni. The sons of Korath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uziel. Kohath lived 133 years. The sons of Merari were Mahlai and Mushi. These were the clans of Levi according to their records. Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri. The sons of Uziel were Mishael, Elsaphah, and Sithri. Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab, and the sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nahab and Abdu, Eleazar and Ithamar. The sons of Korah were Esai, Elkanah, and Abisaph. These were the Korahite clans. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite family by clan. It was this same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." They were the ones who spoke to the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. The thing I want to bring to your attention was they come from the line of Levi, and we will learn, I believe we'll learn in the book of Exodus, that Levi, that clan of Eli, of Levi, becomes the priest in of Israel. If you were a priest in Israel, you're a Levite. You come from the Levi clan, and Moses and Aaron were Levites. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." But Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" Chapter 7, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden the Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with the mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the Israelites of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to the Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers and Egyptian magicians, and also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take your hand, and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you. Let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed to blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and the canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn into blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of the Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile. And all the water changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret acts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace, and he did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water, because they could not drink the water of the river. Chapter 8. 7 days had passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up and in your palace, in your bedroom, and in onto your bed, into the houses of your officials, and on your people, and into their ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will go up on you and your people and all of your officials. And then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come out of the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and they also made frogs come up out of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from my people, from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave you the honor of setting the time for me to pray, and you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said. Moses replied, It will be as you say, so that when you know there is no one like the Lord our God, the frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will only remain in the Nile. After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses and in the courtyards and in the fields. They were piled up in heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff, and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats." They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust on the ground, gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not, and the gnats were on men and animals. The magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are. Then on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that they will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow.' And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and then into the houses of his officials and throughout Egypt. The land was ruined by flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God here in this land.' But Moses said, 'That would not be right. This fast sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must make a 3-day journey into the desert to offer the sacrifices to the Lord our God, as he commands us.' Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me.' Moses answered, 'As soon as I leave, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go offer sacrifices to the Lord.'" Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also Pharaoh hardened his heart. It would not let the people go. Chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on your cattle and sheep and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between your livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land.' And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died. Not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Aaron and Moses, 'Take handfuls of soot from the furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of the Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and the festering boils will break out on man and animals throughout the land.' So they took the soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it up into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because the boils were on them and all of the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me, or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and your officials and your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt, from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everyone and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. The officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside, but those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that the hail will fall all over Egypt, on men and animals, on everything growing in the fields of Egypt. When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all of the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place that it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we haven't had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were destroyed since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and the spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripened later. Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread his hands out towards the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. Hardening of hearts is an interesting term, and it's an interesting phenomenon. A great Billy Graham talks about hardened hearts, and it becomes very, very difficult for a once hardened heart to become soft to the Lord again. I encourage you, and I encourage us right now, that if we have hardened hearts, and we get hardened hearts when we ignored God, we get hardened hearts when we don't see Him in all things, we need to really fine-tune our senses to the glory of God. He is everywhere and in everything, all the good things. He is not in sin. But that loving touch by a spouse or a mother, or a father, or encouraging words from a friend or a teacher. That is God speaking to you, making you feel good. Don't let your hearts be hardened. When you experience bad things, and we all experience bad things, don't blame God for your bad circumstances. Walk towards God. Look towards God. He wants us to come towards Him in our times of trouble and trials. That's where we persevere. That's where we mature as Christians. Let's see if we get another chapter in here before the time is up for today. I think we'll be able to get through part of chapter 10. Chapter 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh, and for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and how I performed my signs among them, and that they may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that nothing can be seen. They will devour what little that you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day of their settling in this land till now. Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is ruined? Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. Go, worship the Lord your God, he said. But who will be going? Moses answered, We will go with our young and old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord. Pharaoh said, The Lord be with you. I will let you go, along with you women and children. Clearly, you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you've been asking for. Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that the locusts will swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail. So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all the day and all that night. By morning the wind had brought the locust. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts. Nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on one plant in all of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now forgive me my sin once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me. Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up all the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. But not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and would not let the Israelites go. We're going to stop there at the end of chapter 10, verse 20, and we'll pick that up next week. We have run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next Sunday. We hope that you've enjoyed our program. My name again is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available to you as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Again, that number is 919-832-5138. May God bless you and your family this day and every day.